Some conversations aren't meant for everyone. They happen between people who simply understand. Welcome to Ellis Adventures, hosted by Janet Valentine and Roger Johnson, exploring connection, curiosity, and the lifestyle that, if you know, you know. Featuring voices like Steve the Professor and Barb Triple E. Ellis Adventures. Play outside the lines.
This is Janet Valentine. Here's an episode from the archives.
I am Janet.
Well, this is not Roger Johnson. Even though I may sound like it, I am suffering from a little bit of a sinus issue. This is Barb with an E, Barbie.
So Barbie's joined me today, and we are going to have fun because in this episode, in honor of all of the sports that are going to be going on pretty soon in Paris at the Olympics, I wanted to talk about a sport that you won't see on TV, but we know is going on in Paris on a regular basis, and that is the Libertine Clubs. And on another podcast, Barbie discussed one of her fun nights out, which was in Las Vegas, I believe.
Yes.
And I can't wait to talk to you about one of my fun nights out. And that's in Paris. In fact, I've had several of them. My husband and I, hubby number two and I, travel for business, and that travel takes us to Europe on a regular basis. And what we've found is this wonderful country of France, and in particular, the city of Paris is our favorite. Out of all of the places that we've traveled and all of the places that we played, Paris is above and beyond everybody else. They know, they have what's going on. They know what's going on. The attitude of the French towards sex is wonderful. They understand that marriage is marriage, and that's where you do you have the challenges that you do together and raise families and other things like that. But sex is another story, and having a mistress or playing outside of the marriage is not ostracized. And in fact, it's not put down at all. They just understand that it's a part of life. Yeah. And so there is, in Paris, we found out, this was about 10 years ago, that there were, at the time, 225 libertine clubs, is what they call them, in Paris alone.
Get okay. out. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. So, because yeah. It's called a libertine club. It's not even called a sex club. It's libertine for being free and doing what you want. And each of these clubs, some of these clubs have been established 70, 80 years, 90 years have been in business. And they really know how to do it. So they advertise. It's not like advertised in a paper. It's not, but you can find it on the internet. So you can just plug in Libertine Club on the internet, and they will pop up what their names are. And some of them are the standard ones. And then you just find out from other people and other couples that you meet there, where are the other ones and what is the new address of it, and what is the contact information to get to them. So we'd been traveling in Paris, and we'd been doing business, and then we decided to spend a couple of days for fun. And on the one of the last days of our trip, we decided it was time to go to a club. And the first club that we went to was called Do Plus Do.
Yes, I do.
Do Plus Do. And my husband called up, asked them what time they opened. They found someone to speak English. And he said, well, we'll have an English speaking person here. At 8 p.m. is when the doors open. This is how much the fee is. So typically what these clubs do is if you are a couple, they'll charge you 60, 70, 80 euro for an evening. And that evening gets you an entrance into the club. What these clubs typically do, the bigger ones, is they will have a buffet. So they will not only have a sex buffet, but they will actually have, they'll serve food. And so you get your ticket. Right. So they will say that they'll set up a buffet and they'll tell you the buffet starts at 10 or the buffet starts at 11 or whatever. Okay. The doors open at 7 or 8 and then the buffet starts at 10. And then the doors, I don't know. I think the doors close at like 6 a.m. And
oh my goodness.
Yes. Yeah. So,
wow.
So we decide to go to Duples Stew. And before we do this, there is a, in the Montmartre district of Paris, there are a lot of sex clubs and a lot of lingerie clubs, lingerie stores right next to each other along there.
Nice.
So we decide in anticipation of this, we're going to buy some French underwear.
Of course.
So we go and I'm so excited and hubby number two picks out a wonderful pair of panties for me that are lace and they have the slit right there in the middle so that they're not really panties. They're just decorations.
Panties with access.
Panties with access. And so we decide, okay, let's wear panties with access. And I have a nice dress and I get this dress and I'm wearing fuck me heels and these panties. And at this time, we were not very good at riding the metro. And I did not feel like riding the metro in this outfit. So we, from our hotel, we took a taxi. And the taxi drops us out. Like when you say to the taxi driver, we're going to Duples Stew. They know where Duples Stew is. Okay. It's not a, oh, you're one of those people who's going to that club. You don't get judged by the taxi driver because everybody does this. All right. So we get in the taxi, we drive up to this place, and it's along the street. There are many other houses along the street, and then all of a sudden, there's just this place, and it has a very small sign on the front door that says Duples Stew. And so we ring the bell, and they let us in. And so I think they said the doors open at 8. We decided to get there about 8:30. And so we go in. And we pay for ourselves, and I don't have anything on me. I don't have a key card. I don't have pockets. So I don't have anything on me at all, except for a coat because it's cold, right? Because it's in the winterish type fall winter. So we hang the coat up, coat check. And hubby takes the check, the little tab for the coat. And so the coat goes away and we walk in and the first floor looks like it's got a nice bar. It's got tables that are sitting there. Nobody's at the tables. We are one of the first couples that are there, right? There is a dance floor over to the right and it has stripper poles. It has disco lights. It has, you know, the thump thump music is going on and the techno stuff. So it's like nightclub stuff, right? But exactly. on the walls are all of these naked statues, fucking, okay, and you know, shadows and just wonderful, just French tacky art. Like if you were gonna decorate a house in French swinger, this is how you would decorate the house. So I look at all this stuff and I say, okay, I guess we're the first ones here. And so the bartender asks us what we like to drink. And of course they say, once they hear us speak English, are you American? Yes, we're American. We don't get very many Americans here. And they say it with that French English accent, you know, we don't get very many Americans here. Okay. So is that good or is that bad? Yeah. Oh, it's fine. We're just very surprised you're here. They go upstairs and take a look around. So we walk up. There are two entrances to get upstairs. There's a back staircase and there's a front staircase. We decide to take the back staircase. We go upstairs to take the back staircase. It's a little windy staircase. We get up to the top And over to the right is the women's bathroom, and it has a sign. And the sign says, and it's in French, but I can tell what it says because it's also got a picture that says, "No men beyond this point." Like, oh, okay. No men get to go in the women's bathroom. Well, that's good. So yeah. There's like, there's that. And I briefly registered the women's bathroom. And then over on the right-hand side, there are mattresses that are two or three mattresses that are, they look like they're gym mats. Okay. But they're not, they're mattresses for fucking. Okay. Right. And so over to the right, there's a bunch of mattresses. Over to the left, there's also some mattresses across from them. So there's lined up probably three mattresses on the right, three mattresses on the left. There's curtains that you can pull shut if you'd like to pull them shut. And then there's like at the very end, there's like a private-ish room that also has, there's a screen that's just a, it's not really a wall. It's enough of a screen that gives you a little bit of privacy. So there's a private room if you want to go play in the private room.
Exactly.
There's nobody in the private room. There's nobody on the mattresses to the left. On the mattresses to the right, there is this Amazon woman that I want to say, I can't tell how tall she is because she was on her hands and knees. But she was a big lady that was beautiful. Like, I mean, she was a 6 foot tall, dark skinned, dark chocolate, very svelte, athletic woman. She is on her hands and knees. There is a guy behind her fucking her from behind. She has on her right hand side, there is a guy, she's got his dick in her hand. On the left hand side, she has another dick in her hand. So this woman is on her knees. She is holding on to two dicks to balance herself. And then there's another guy in front of her that is, she's sucking him off. So there are four guys surrounding this woman.
Oh,
and she,
wow.
She is holding forth. And probably number two is just like, you can tell that he's very excited. And he says, "Do you want to do that?" And I say, "No, no, 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 no." Okay. And the barrier comes down. I'm like, "No, that's too much for me. Too much, too much, too much stimulation. I can't be that person. I cannot be that person that does that. I can't, no way could I balance myself like that woman does. And no way would I look like this."
Yeah.
Okay. Because I know in my head, you think you look like this, but in reality, it's like when you videotape yourself screwing around and then you take a look at the picture later and you go, this should not have been on video.
Yeah. Right? I hope nobody else gets to see that. Yeah.
Exactly. So I am not visualizing myself as this woman. So we just kind of walk on past, like, nothing to see here. We're just touring the place. Okay, by the way, there's a whole group of people fucking, and this woman's really holding forth. It's her and the guys. Hi! Yeah. You know,
it's, pass through. don't stop on our account. No,
right, don't mind me, right? So we go back down the stairs. We go to the other staircase. So we walk through and go to the other staircase to take us down the stairs, back down to the first floor where the tables are and stuff. And by this time, a couple of more couples have shown up downstairs. And we get a table. By this time, I'm looking over on the dance floor. There are...
Have you ever been at a lifestyle event and wondered, is she a sparkle pony? Well, wonder no more. Introducing Sparkle Scan, the world's first AI-powered sparkle pony detection app.
Analyzing glitter factor, 92%. Hair volume, exceptional. Possesses at least 3 pairs of sparkly boots. Probability of owning a bedazzled wine tumbler, 98%. Sparkle pony confidence score, 99.7%.
I knew it.
Correction, Subject is the banquet manager. Recalculating Sparkle Pony confidence score, 2%.
No problem. Sparkle Scan uses advanced artificial intelligence to evaluate posture, fashion choices, beverage selection, and the frequency of the phrase, "Yas, queen."
Analyzing new subject, Sparkle Pony confidence score, 96%.
See, I told you.
Correction. Subject is your wife.
Well, that explains a lot.
And with our premium edition, you'll also get unicorn detection, hot tub traffic alerts, and our exclusive feature. Just go say hello.
Recommendation: stop staring, start talking.
Sparkle Scan, using cutting-edge artificial intelligence to tell you what common sense already knew. Not available anywhere. Results may vary. App accuracy approximately equal to your buddy Dave's opinion. And we all know opinions are like assholes. Everyone's got one.
Final analysis. You're overthinking this.
This parody ad brought to you by Ellis Adventures Podcast. And now, back to the show.
Two of these, I don't know. I don't know what sex they are. They're shims is what I want to call them. They're either a man that's dressed up like a woman or a woman that's just, or a tranny, somebody who's in between. I don't know if they have a package. It doesn't matter. They're dancing. They're in these, you know, 4-inch heels dancing and in beautiful costumes that, you know, just beautiful lingerie. And they are holding forth on the disco floor at this point. I'm like, wow. Okay. So that's regular club stuff. And I'm watching them and they're teasing and stuff. And so we sit at the table. And a man comes over and joins us. He is he's an older man, and he's just in a regular dress shirt. And he sits down and he says, I understand you guys are Americans. And he says it in that French English. And I said, yes, we are. And I said, how do you know we're Americans? He said, oh, the word has gotten around that the Americans are here. Oh, and so I'm wondering,
Americans have invaded.
Is this a good thing or a bad thing?
And he says, I know.
We don't get Americans here. And he's so he starts to talk to us and he tells us what he does for a living. And I can't remember. It's an architect or something or whatever. And so he asks, so another couple comes over and sits in another table next to us. And hubby number two gets up and walks over and tries to talk to them. And they kind of let him know that they're not interested in talking to him at this point. And so he comes back to us and the guy says, don't worry, they'll be interested later. Okay. And he says, would you like to go upstairs and play? So I said, okay. So we go upstairs and play. Well, we go upstairs and we go to play in the private room. I try to get past again what the package on the outside looks like, and I'm thinking, okay, let's just, maybe he's got something behind him and maybe he's going to be a really good fuck, okay? It turns out that he's just normal, right? You take off his shirt, you take off his pants, you blow him up a little. Now, these places, they are very experienced at what they do. Every couple of feet, there is a condom container that has condoms out there. There's also lube injector stuff, if you want that. There is also cleaning stuff. They have the nicer places where you pay a little bit extra, have cleaning personnel that go around and clean behind you all the time. So it's really nice. This is one of the nicer places. So this guy takes out the condom, he puts the condom on, he basically says something like, I don't know if this is going to work or not, which to me is alarm bells. This is not going to be a good experience for me. It's going to be sex, but it's not going to be good sex. Okay. So
that's a red flag.
My first play is all right, fine. So I do them and it's fine. It's just fine. It's not good. It's not bad. So we go back downstairs and
did you make him come?
I think I did, but because the condom's on, you know, you don't really feel the splooge or whatever. So it's like, it's okay. So I go back downstairs and I'm thinking, well, this is pretty par for what an American club is, kind of. And so then Hubby says, well, let's go back upstairs and not wait down here. Let's see if there's something else that's happened up there. So, you know, probably an hour or two has passed. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Time. These places are like Caesar's Palace in Vegas. They don't have clocks. They don't have, you lose track of time. You have no idea what time it is. Okay. So keep in mind, this is our last night there, and we have to catch an airplane at 6 o'clock in the morning.
Ooh.
Okay.
Yeah. We can sleep on the plane.
Me in my head was like, we'll go to this club, we'll stay for a couple of hours, go back to our hotel room, we'll sleep there a couple of hours, then we'll sleep on the plane. All right, so I don't know what time it is. Come back downstairs. Hubby says, let's go back up and see what's happening upstairs. And so we walk upstairs again, and the Amazon she is done. She's nowhere to be found. So those people are gone from that section. We decide to get on the mattresses across from where she was, the three mattresses. And Hubby decides he's just going to start by playing with me. Okay. Cause he knows I'm nervous. And so one of the best ways to get me not nervous is to just start fucking me. Okay. So he starts out and he's fucking me. Pretty soon, I feel a hand on my ass, and I look over because Hubby's hands are also on my ass. So now there's three hands on my ass. And I look over, and the third hand belongs to this younger gentleman. And this younger gentleman is like, ooh, he's a construction type guy.
Yeah.
He's like, nice. he's got some ripples on his chest. Okay. And he just motions to husband that he is it okay if he slips in there, and husband says sure. And so husband moves over, I start blowing my husband, and then this guy is behind me. All right, puts on the condom, and he's behind me, and he's fucking me. Right. Well, then pretty soon another dick appears in front of my face. And it's not my husband, and it's just another dick. And I cannot tell you what the dick was attached to. I can't tell you if he was 5'6" or 5'9" or 6'3", okay? Because I'm on my hands and knees, and this dick is now in front of me, and I'm just sucking the dick and being fucked from behind. And I'm thinking to myself, I feel hands on my side, and somebody else comes up, and so I grab the dick. I think it's my husband's dick, but I start to play with it, and I realize this is not my husband's dick, because I've had my husband's dick a lot, and it's a lot thicker. Okay, this is a lot different. So I'm like, okay, it's a different dick. And so alarm bells go off in my head. Oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. I think it's my husband that's behind me, and I think it's this guy that's in front of me that I don't know. Now it's a guy to my side of me that I don't know. And then another dick appears on my right-hand side. So I just grab it, because you're in the moment and you're not going to let the dick hang. And
exactly.
They're all speaking in French. Okay. So it's just like the ooh la la, you know, you want to have the dick. And so and it's like, when in Paris, you got to do what you're going to do in Paris in a libertine club. Right.
Yes.
So pretty soon, all of my inhibitions start to just peel away and peel away and peel away. And pretty soon I got one on my left, one on my right, one on my front. And I think it's my husband from behind. And then I know it's not my husband from behind because he's got a condom on. And then I feel another set of knees appear kind of next to me on my right hip. And then they move over, and I think the person who's getting ready to get in me doesn't have a condom on. And so I say, hubby number two, I yell for him, hubby. And I say, I don't think this guy has a condom on. And hubby doesn't answer.
Oh.
And so it's just a bunch of French guys talking. And I can tell that the one French guy is yelling at the other French guy and telling him to put a condom on. And so, because I don't understand French, but I understand what's going on. And so the one French guy is yelling at the other French guy, telling him, put a condom on before you go in her. And so I'm very grateful that whoever it is who's speaking in French is telling me this, right? But at this time, now I'm feeling 12 hands on me, okay? And I got dick in the left, dick in the right, dick in the mouth. Somebody who's in me, behind me, fucking me from behind, and it's not my husband, and I have no idea where my husband's going. And there's a little panic inside of me that is just like, I'm like, okay, I'm in this situation. You wanted to be in this situation. You've always wanted to be in this situation. No, this is not good. You are such a whore. No, you're not supposed to do this. And then the other part of me is like, oh, but you're such a dirty little girl.
Yeah. So, and just loving every minute.
There's the joyous part of me that's just like, oh, and just when you come to me a lot of times in these situations, your voice is there going, go, this is what you wanted.
That's right.
Is what you did. Your voice is coming to me. So I hear Barbie's voice in my head going, go, Janet, go. And so I'm having this fun. And then part of me is like, your husband go. And so your senses are just, your body is feeling everything times 10, you know, every thrust, every suck of the dick, everything is multiplied because your senses, I don't have sight. Okay. Cause it's dark and I don't have sight. And so I'm listening to this and everybody's speaking a different language.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay. So where did he go? And part of me is like, where did he go? And so I start listening and I hear beyond the French voices, I hear this slap, 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 slap. And I know what that slap is. That is my husband's balls slapping some woman. And it turns out that the French couple that he had wanted to do before had come upstairs and he was in the little private room right next to us on the three mattresses, fucking her. Okay.
All right. Good.
So it registers to me that he's somewhere nearby fucking somebody. So I'm okay. Okay. Yeah. I'm not alone.
Yeah.
And so, and I cannot tell you how long I'm there on my hands and knees. Cause I'm just, and I'm a clock. I feel like I'm the hours. I'm the clock. They are the hands. They are the numbers around me, and I'm staying still as the hands, and the numbers just keep switching. Okay.
Yes.
They just keep switching off. The guy who's fucking me from behind takes his condom off, goes over to the next one, and then I'm playing with him by hand. And by the time he gets up to the top, I've got all the condom dust rubbed off, and so I'm sucking him, and it's fine. Okay. And so, you know, I'm playing clock. I don't know how many guys there are. I don't know, six guys, seven guys, eight guys, I think.
Wow.
Okay. And so then, I stop a second and I say my knees and I say this, I'm hoping somebody there can understand the word knees. And all of a sudden, one of the bigger French guys takes me and he stops everybody from where they're at, okay, clears them up the area, and then he pushes me over and flips me onto my back.
There you go.
I'm on
you what you were saying.
Mm-hmm. Right. And so I'm just like, I can't think and understand, okay? So they're still speaking French. And the thing is, this time now I can see a little bit, I can see blurred, and it doesn't scare me that I have these six or eight faces because they keep changing, but it doesn't matter because it feels so good. It feels so good.
It's a real adrenaline rush. Yeah.
I this is why people that are in high stress jobs need to do this because you want to talk about some adrenaline.
Yep.
You don't get this from a roller coaster, honey.
Exactly.
And here's the thing. What was really good is so they would switch every once in a while. And what they would do is I learned they were listening to my moans. And so the one guy stops, instead of fucking me, he starts eating me out. Okay. So he's licking me. And so, cause it's like, they understand, okay, she's had enough of the pokey pokey, let's lick.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Okay, this is great. Oh, this is really good. Oh, that's the spot. You know, it's so gorgeous. Whenever you say, oh, you know, rich guys are like, la la. All right. So the thing is that what I learned is if I stopped moaning, they would yell at the guy whose face was between my legs and make him switch to go to the next guy.
Oh my goodness. That's great. That's great. Yeah.
I'm sex queen sitting there, okay? I don't need to be this Amazon woman who's on her knees. I'm on my back, honey. Yep. Okay, they're playing with my boobs. They're figuring out when to pinch the nipples. They're listening to my moans. They're switching. The clock is, it's just circling around me, and I am just there. I am at midnight. I am, my hands are up at midnight, and my pussy's there at 6 o'clock, and they are just switching. The numbers are just moving on this clock, like the circle's going around. And I'm just like, oh, this is so wonderful. I cannot tell you how long I was there. I mean, I think I probably an hour and a half at least laying down. And then I flip back on my knees again. They put me back on my knees again. And I don't know if it was the same men or different men or no. It was just, so then they fucked me again. They got me up on hands and knees, and they're doing the fuck round again. And finally, I'm done. Okay. I've had enough. I'm exhausted.
I said break.
And then I'm doing the sign language break, like you're breaking a stick. Okay. So I'm doing the sign language, like, please, somebody can understand.
Universal.
Sign
language. I need a break.
So they all, as I get up and stand up, they all scatter like, you know, like flies scatter off of something that moves, right? So they're hovering on the outside. And I'm looking around and I'm thinking to myself, so somebody tries to touch me again and I push them away. No. And somebody else tries to touch me again. I push away. So I get up and I walk over and I walk over to the bathroom. And as I'm going to the bathroom, somebody's touching me and I'm thinking to myself, where's my dress? And then where's my new pair of underwear?
Where are my French panties?
Where do they go? They're on the floor somewhere. And so in my head, I'm thinking that I get to the door that says no men passed, and I like jump over it like I'm from the United States jumping over the border into Mexico. Like, you guys cannot come in here. This is my area. I get into the women's bathroom, and it is a refuge that is set up. The French do it so well, because in that bathroom, they had everything that you would need to get yourself put back together to go out into the real world. What I mean by everything is they had a shower that had wonderful shampoo and conditioner. We're not talking cheap shampoo and conditioner. We're talking French shampoo, conditioner, really nice shampoo, conditioner, really nice liquid soap. Smells great, right? Over on the counter are 5 different kinds of perfumes. And one of them is mine, which is Coco Chanel. Okay.
Oh, of course.
It's like, right. So we're not talking cheap perfumes. We're talking nice perfumes. Then there is a whole makeup counter. There is brand new mascara. There is eyeshadows, brand new eyeshadows, mascara. There is an eyebrow curler. Okay. Or an eyelash curler. There is a hot iron. There is a curling iron. There is a hair dryer. Okay. There is hairspray. There is hair conditioner that you can put on your hair as you're curling it. There are Q-tips. There are douches. There are anything you need to clean your pussy out, anything you need to clean your body out, anything you need to get yourself back to normal. And
that's
the thing
fantastic.
Is, the rule is nobody passed there. Okay.
Yeah. This is so leave them alone when they pass this line. You gotta have a break.
I think the people at the club know this. These French guys know it because nobody broke that rule. I did have a couple people stand outside and call to me in French. And I was just like, no, no, or whatever. So
American cheeky.
Yeah, they're standing there going. And I was like, I have never felt so joyously tired in my life. Okay, like the adrenaline rush is now coming down and it's starting to float down into the extremities. I mean, they also have a hose that you can, and a bidet, so you can really spray yourself out, soak yourself. It's all there. It's nice. It's yours. It's in the female bathroom. And I am the only one in there and I'm getting myself put together. And I hear this ticky ticky thing or whatever. Somebody's knocking on the door and I go, go away. And it's my husband.
Oh, of course it is.
Janet.
Yeah. Well, he understood what you said, but he didn't go away. So
and he's like, Janet. And I go, you can't come in here. And he goes, it's me. Because I know your name is Janet. Okay. And he's like,
but you can't come in.
He's like, it's me. And I was like, okay. And he goes, I go, you can't come in here. I'm getting ready. He goes, do you want your dress and your underwear? And I go,
yes, honey, thank you.
Honey, thank you. I go, and he's leaning against the door, and he has the biggest smile on his face because he has witnessed this, and he knows that I have just had what, again, he pushes me to fantasies that I didn't even know that I had. Okay, because yeah. I did not even know that I had this fantasy, but I did. And and it was wonderful, and he pushed me into it. And you know, even though I was scared to death in the beginning, going, no, I'm not going to be that Amazon woman. And no, I don't want to see video of what I actually looked like, because I got that dream. But then he says to me, he goes, we got to go. It's 4:30 in the morning.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Oh, there you go. And you wondered why you were so tired.
And so we said, you gotta go. So I was like, all right. So I get my stuff together. I put the dress on. I slip the panties back on the Thor puffy, which I'm going to be so happy on the plane. Okay. So I slip them on and we go downstairs and I am getting my coat and up runs this little Frenchman and he's like, you leaving? You can't go yet. And he's speaking English. And I said, yes, we're leaving. And he says, you're the Americans. You can't go yet. And he goes, I wanted to fuck the American. He goes, I heard about you.
He has his own bucket list.
And so honestly, and that's what I thought of you and your nationality when I was like, oh, this poor guy wants to fuck an American. And I said, I have to catch a plane. It's so fun. It's like in the movies. Like when you have this, I'm sorry, I got to go. I gotta catch a plane. So I said this to him. I said, I'm sorry. I'll see you next time, maybe. And he's like, can I have your phone number? And I go, it's American.
Okay. Yeah.
So it's not going to do, honey. Maybe I'll see you the next time I come over and the next time I'm at a club. So
that's great.
Got a coat on, jumped in the taxi, went over to the hotel room, grabbed our bags, caught the plane.
Yeah. And slept all the way back to the United States.
the ride back to home to the United States was full of me. I parked that in my Spank Bank memories, and that's the one I pull out. If I am ever at a point where I'm trying to make myself come and I can't concentrate and or the person's just not very good and I want to come anyway, I will reach into my Spank Bank memory and pull out that French clock memory.
Yeah.
That was my first experience in Paris. And you know, those athletes that are over there, some of them have got to go by and see if 2+2 is still there. And see if you can go by and have your experience, because it was so wonderful. They just know how to do stuff.
Did they allow single men to come in?
They do. You have to pay extra.
Yeah.
So single men to pay extra, they have to pay extra. So like a couple may cost $60. A single man may cost something like $150. So what the single men will do is they will do something called their ticket. They'll bring a pass. They'll get a woman, you know, a reputable.
Sure, a friend. Bring a friend with you.
And they will pay her. They'll pay her $30 to go to the club or whatever. Okay. And so then instead of having to fork out $150, they have to fork out $90 or whatever. Yeah.
Oh, that's
so
funny.
They will bring in meal tickets, and those meal ticket women, they just sit there and drink, and most of them don't go upstairs to play. But the single guys, yeah. And then these clubs, some of the clubs don't allow single guys at all. And they really frown upon those that bring in a ticket. And if they figure out that they've brought in a pass, then they will not. There's one particularly is called Eclipse. It is couples only, and they do not allow single males in. And if a male continues to bring in somebody who is not playing, he's not going to be allowed to come in eventually. He'll get blackballed. Now, their sister club, Moon City, is another one of our favorite clubs. It is right down the street from Moulin Rouge. So it's like two blocks down from Moulin Rouge. And Moon City has certain days, certain times. I think it's Wednesdays and Saturdays. From Wednesdays from 4 till 1 a.m. And I think Saturdays from 4 till 1 a.m. is couples only. And then they let the single guys in. So they figured by that time, the couples will be done and they'll need extra dicks.
Yes. That's right. The first round is done. We need to bring in the reinforcements.
Right. But so, I mean, each club has their different reputations, and then they have newer ones coming out. I will have more stories to tell about Paris at another time. But I wanted to tell you this one, especially because of your story with Vegas. So all of you ladies out there who think that you would not like a gangbang, and I think because they call it a gangbang, it bothers me a little bit.
Exactly. You know? That just has a negative connotation.
Yes, so it's not, it's just, you are the center of attention.
That's right.
And that's it. And so the thing is that being the center of attention, my personality, a part of me is like, yeah, I want to be, but no, I can't really do that. Yeah, I want to be, but no, I really couldn't really do that. And then when it happened, it's like, okay, yeah, this was pretty fun.
Well, and you know, the voices in the back of your head sometimes are saying, well, I don't look like that woman, and I don't look like that woman, so why would they come to see me?
Exactly.
And early on was just, and you know, the thing of it is, that's normal, but it is all in your head, because people find attraction in all kinds of ways, you know, and so even if you look in the mirror and you think, you know, I'm doing the best I can, but I don't look like, you know, Cindy Crawford, that's okay, you know, because we're all just people, normal. And there are things, you mentioned this in one of your podcasts earlier, that the things that make people attractive sometimes aren't physical. Sometimes it's just getting to know somebody. Or now, that would be difficult in a Paris club. When you're in that instance, you might just be looking for the physical thing. But for the most part, there are so many ways that somebody can be attractive. But
what I did not,
it was a wonderful
time. What I didn't understand about the Paris club was that being American was it.
Hey.
I could have weighed a couple hundred more pounds and they were going to be like, oh, it's an American woman. Okay.
Isn't that great?
Like,
yeah.
Oh,
I did an American.
I'm an American.
Now, a long time ago, you and I even talked about like getting a globe and then putting a pin in, you know? So, of all the men that were fondling you and they were speaking French, do you think they were all French, or do you think you had like a whole mix? Because, you know, I'm the nationality gal, so I just want to know how many and who were they.
So the first guy that we ended up playing with that was kind of a meh, he was from Albania.
Okay, there's an Albanian.
I also thought of you, and I thought, maybe I should start trying to do that. I don't know, but that's your thing, not mine. But so I was like, maybe I should do a map and start to go, okay. Because there was in Paris, you do meet a lot of, even though they speak French, they are a different nationalities. And so And also, one of the things I'm going to talk about in another podcast is Cop to Og. Now, for those of you who are out there trying to figure out what Cop to Og is, in American spelling, it looks like CAPE, C-A-P-E, and then a dash, duh, and then a dash, A-G-D-E, but it's Cop to Og. And Cop to Og is in southern France. It is the biggest swinger location in the world. Okay. It is, there's a nudist beach and then there's a whole swinger community. And in the summer in Cop to Og, it swells to a population of somewhere between 35,000 and 40,000 swingers.
Oh my goodness.
And
I think we're going to need to be planning a vacation, sister.
We've been there twice.
Oh, good for you. Of course you have.
And we didn't learn about Cop to Og until going to these clubs in Paris. We now have friends that we met in the clubs. They're the ones that told us about Cop to Og. But you can look it up. You can YouTube it. There are pictures. There are some great videos of stuff that goes on at Cop to Og. But down there, there are people from all over the world that come to play. So if you want to play nationality game, it's going to be either in Paris or there.
I don't think I can keep it all straight. I'd have to put it in alphabetical order.
And then there are other cities that we've played in. I've played in Amsterdam. I've played in Bamberg. I was not impressed with Amsterdam. You thought it would be good. I'll tell you that story later, but it was not. Nobody doesn't like Paris and Cop to Og. Those two are exceptional, and it is the attitude towards sex. But these clubs have been around forever, for us, and they really have learned how to make it a great experience. And the thing is, the cheaper the club is, the cheaper the amenities are going to be, definitely. So sure. We were not going to go to a cheap club. We were not going to go to a cheap hotel. We're going to an expensive hotel if we're playing. Okay.
Right.
So if we're playing abroad, we were going to start with a little bit more expensive to make sure that the people that are there can afford it. And then you get something for your money besides just let's fuck around.
Yeah. Because what if there's nobody there worth fucking, at least you could have, food. And drink.
It's food and drink. And the thing is, I didn't realize I missed the buffet, but it didn't matter. Have been other stories I have. I'll talk to you about the buffets at different ones. But and it's really funny. The people that are going there, that live in Paris, that are going to these clubs, the buffets are important to them. Like, they know what's served. And they know which one serves a better buffet than the other one.
Oh, that's great. Of course, they live there. Sure. Let's go to this one because we can fuck and have good food.
Right. And it's not like you don't have to apologize when the taxi driver picks you up at Du Plus Du. You don't have to apologize that you're being picked up at this club because they're just thinking to themselves, this is normal.
Yeah.
This is part of life.
Yeah.
This is normal.
In a city of that size and the city of love, let's add that.
Right. So I have never done the research to see if there's actually 220 or whatever beyond libertine clubs. But what I can tell you after playing there on a regular basis, once a year for a while during when I wasn't retired, I was playing there. There's a bunch of different clubs and you learn to like the clubs. There are certain clubs that you meet certain types of people and I've met them all. I mean, it's been fun. So these Olympians, I know they're running around there. So it's not so much for the Olympians, but your parents that are over there, okay, that have your kid who's running around and the kid is like running track and doing the swimming or whatever. That's great. Yeah. But while they're sleeping and getting ready for the event the next day, y'all need to go check out one of these clubs.
Go check it out. That's right. Go check it out.
And I mean, it's a matter of just looking up libertine clubs is what they're called. You can Google them
and try and find out those. And they have the pictures. They some of them, they have virtual tours that'll show you the room. Room that they have and the amenities and stuff. And, you know, I have alluded to the fact that I've done a jockey before. I did a jockey at one of these clubs.
There you go. That's right, the jockey. Come here. Maybe, and we
Taken a globe. Maybe we should have taken a globe and just done pins and gone, oh, I did one from there. Oh, I did one from there.
But then you're right about the occupation list. The occupation list is hilarious, too. How many people can say they have fucked a jockey? I'm thinking it's a really small percentage.
How many people can say that they've fucked a coroner?
Ooh, that's a doozy.
So this, the coroner, and yes, I'll save this for another podcast, but the coroner is going to help me. He still stays in touch with me. One of my wishes is that if I'm dead, I want somebody to come in, besides taking my parts and give them to anybody else who can use them.
Amen.
Come in and play with my body one more time before it gets used.
There's laws against that.
The coroner says he can find somebody to help me with this wish.
I'm sure he can. I'm sorry. I have to make this arm movement that when we kind of go over the top, you kind of just, you were doing okay.
Roger's going to hear this and he's going to comment on the next podcast.
I have no doubt.
I'll be in trouble. That's another one. Don't kink shame me on this, you guys.
Shame. Ever, never, never, never shame. No, I just think it's absolutely hilarious. Again, that's why you have the podcast, because who can you tell?
You can't tell this too, and only somebody y'all are going to understand. Now, if you want to bash me on it or say, hey, that's hot, you are welcome to contact us. You contact us at beyondmonogamypodcast.com. That has contact information for me, for Roger, and I believe if you send a message to me, I'll get it to Barbie. If you want to leave a tip for the producer, because he doesn't get paid for producing this and we have no commercials, so you get to hear all this great stuff and no commercials.
That's right. A tip
so he's happy doing the producer stuff. But go to Beyond Monogamy, and it's spelled monogamy is spelled with a couple of O's. Make sure we get that correctly. BeyondMonogamyPodcast.com. And you'll find us, I'm sure that you can search for Janet Valentine and maybe find me on the internet. But if you enjoy this podcast, keep listening. Send us topic ideas or questions if you have any. If you got a problem and you want to talk to me off air about it, I'll be happy to listen to you off air. Please don't send me the horny, please masturbate for me in front of the camera type person. That's not me right now. I'm retired, folks. Although if you want to make my ego feel a little bit better, sure, send me a nasty note. That's fine.
You've been listening to Ellis Adventures. Not everything needs to be explained. Follow, subscribe, and keep the conversation going. Ellis Adventures. Play outside the lines.